Monday, move to Portland.
I'm leaving this town.
I'm leaving.
Good night, brothers and sisters. This is the African Knowledge Beyond the Book Club inaugural broadcast. Tonight, we're discussing Chapter 12 of the ISIS Papers. The subject is Black Fear. Okay? Where we want to explore the subject of Black Fear as described by Dr. Frances Chris Welsing in her book, The ISIS Papers. Okay, in this particular chapter, she describes Black Fear as an extremely high level of fear that we all experience with a high sense of vulnerability of our lives and existence, which leads to ineffectual patterns of circular thought. And by circular thought, she means a thought process that moves from problem awareness away from problem solution and then back again to problem awareness or perception again. Okay, that means you see you have a problem and you say, hey, something is happening to our community. Why do these particular negative things keep taking place? And instead of investigating the source of the problem, we continue to point out and discuss the symptoms of the core issue. Okay. And in these cases, our problems that we perceive or made aware of are avoided, and they're never solved. They're never addressed. Okay. And from that, we have a sense of powerlessness and fear and vulnerability. And with this imposed patterns of circular thought as opposed to linear thought. And in linear thought, as she describes, as a thought process that moves from problem awareness progressively towards problem solution. And this can be demonstrated by when we see a problem, we say, why do we have drugs on our streets if drugs are supposed to be a controlled substance? And so we begin to look at who brings drugs in. Where do these so-called drugs come from? Who benefits from us being engaged in this particular type of enterprise that has been criminalized by these persons? Which we call the establishment, the judicial and other agencies that prepare the punishments and the fines and everything for us. So then we can go and say, oh, there's a structure that's in place to keep us in this. And so that's a linear thought process. That's a great example of one. So that we can understand that when we're not going from problem awareness towards problem solution, we're spinning our wheels and we're wasting time. And we're engaged in the type of avoidance of the real issue, which is fruitless. And she says here on page 154 that black people throughout the world live under the power of white supremacist system as total oppression and domination. Now, with that said, I would like to introduce my wife. She's the hostess of the Woman Song Community Experience, Jolivette Williams.
Hey. Did you just say Jolivette?
I said Jolivette.
Jolivette.
I said Jolivette.
All right.
I said it kind of fancy and French-like.
Oh, fancy and French-like. Hey.
Yes. And I'd also like to introduce and bring a brother, Amin. What up?
How you doing? What's up?
I'm doing all right.
Hey.
Sitting back here.
What's up?
Right. I know you got your book out. And we encourage everyone who... That's right. Got the book. That was a little brief paraphrase of everything from the first couple pages. And what did y'all think about this thought process, this avoidance, and our people being stuck in this circle of confusion?
Well, I think we enjoy it, avoiding the issue. As you're speaking, it reminded me of a Rodney Dangerfield joke. And the guy walks to the doctor and he waves his arm around and he says, "Doctor, it hurts when I do this." And the doctor says, "Don't do that." And that's what we do. We get up to the problem, but we can't seem to stop doing the things we do. We turn around and avoid the solution instead of going toward it and solving it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Instead of asking the question, well, why do I do that and my arm hurts?
Mm-hmm.
So I can figure out how to correct that, because I should be able to move my arms in this particular way.
Exactly.
Right. Right.
Right. So how do we combat that particular type of reasoning? I've seen lots of evidence of it, and obviously the two of you have as well. How do we overcome that? Because what I'm experiencing is when you get to a place where you're talking about solutions, generally that type of dialogue is not really well received.
You're right. People have a double-minded approach to solutions. Like I particularly always talk about how I don't tell people what to do, and they'll say, "You're not providing solutions. You're not telling us what to do." And then on another occasion, I'll tell them what to do. Then they'll say, "You don't tell me what to do."
Right.
You don't know what you're talking about. I thought you just told me you wanted me to tell you what to do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? See, that's avoidance right there. Because
yeah.
See, the problem is they don't really want to address the problem. That's another manifestation of the circular thought process.
Right.
Right. They don't want to look at it and look at it for what it is and look at how pervasive and let's say infected our society is with cowardice. Now, Brother Mean brought up on a previous conversation, I think on the Woman Son Community Experience and other conversations, about cowardice.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Amos Wilson talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody talking about it, another psychologist, a few other psychologist books I'm reading, they're all talking about the coward is the one who will not face up to look to his problem. He was always escaping and avoiding it. And as much as the black community tries to pretend that it isn't suffering from this condition of cowardice, but it is true. It is the absolute truth, is that we have been made into cowards. We have a society, a culture of cowardice.
Mm-hmm.
You've had two guests on your show back-to-back. And I'm not putting women out on Front Street on this one. It was just an example of when two guys said, or the black one, they said, when we wanted to go do certain things to protect our families, and I'm sure this doesn't matter for all cases or even most, but these are just popular incidences, and they say, and the women y'all held us back.
Right.
Now, we know woman can't really hold you back from doing what you need to do. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So if you're going to do what you're going to do, you talking to me ain't going to make me not do it. You see what I mean?
Right.
So, and you have tried to talk me out of doing things before, but I didn't listen to you.
You sure don't.
I know what needs to be done, and I do it. If I know I'm going to be a man, I'm going to do something, I ain't going to let you tell me what I'm going to do, because you don't know. Because I'm the man.
That's right. Oh, Miss Jessica is just took that over there.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am, all of it. I want my name to have a little Frenchness off in there too. I need to work on that.
Jessica. Yeah.
And I believe that is Sean that is on with us. This is a roundtable open discussion about the book Isis Papers. Sean, are you there? Okay, maybe not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Well, back
I'm
to
here.
Closer.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh.
Okay. Hey.
Hey.
I'm sorry, hey, I didn't press one. How are you guys doing tonight?
Oh, we're doing fine.
All right.
Yes. What I was saying is that these men, I'm not saying that they were scared because I wasn't there to evaluate them, because we know there were a lot of revolts.
Yeah.
That have been scarcely remembered. So we're not saying here that we were just scared and nothing took place and none of us ever burned down a barn, because Frederick Douglass told us that they should burn down barns and they should burn down houses. You know, we did things.
Right.
We did a lot of stuff. We did a lot of stuff back then we scared to do them today.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying the cowardice eventually took hold of our culture. There are more men males that did not want to become men.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to express their manhood, and they would I would say they would interfere with other men trying to throw off the yoke of oppression. So eventually, we have a dominant culture of cowards. Meaning that when I say dominant culture, what do you mean? How do you be dominant? When the people who, direct the social order, they're the head of your church, they're the head of all your civic organizations, and say they're all, I think we can just go ahead and say they're all cowards. And so everybody's looking up to them because they got the money, they got all the property, they have all the social influence. Well, then, you know, and I guess if you support you brave, but you don't have anything, people are not taking them seriously, and they become marginalized. You know, and there were a lot of that. You can see how a lot of lynchings and that sorts of activity were taking place following the emancipation in 1866 through Reconstruction on into the Industrial Revolution and beyond. Lynching became the method of cowardizing black men, or basically killing off brave black men, and it continues today with incarceration. So we have to look at ourselves as men, look at ourselves as women, males and females, and look at how we are directing, how we're going to, let's say, take that directorship back from the cowards who want to keep us in an oppressed position so they can get a few crumbs off old master's table. You know what I'm saying?
I always have to finish it off with that. Donnie, I mean,
I'm trying to avoid using the word master. because some people say I say it wrong.
Yeah.
But some people say master. You know.
we still do that in a number of ways. I think the change went from being intimidated with a whip to being intimidated with material things. And these days we worship the material things so much that we use that as an excuse not to take control of the things that we need to take control of. I don't want to lose my job because that's going to take food off my table. It's the equivalent of what the whip used to be.
But it's the truth.
And you know, our folks love some material things. It's the truth that we do need the things that we need. But you know, our folks, we kind of floss too much.
Yeah.
You know, to the point where we need to do that more than we need to have our dignity. We'll sell our dignity.
Right.
The flaw.
Exactly, because you just said, yeah, we do. We need that. That's how I'm losing my job. But what you doing with that job? Are you using the funds from that job to better your community? Are you using it to buy yourself a new Mercedes Benz so you can attract more women to mistreat?
Exactly.
See, mm-hmm. They're using that wealth in order to oppress their neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Or to belittle them or to show off.
That's oppression.
Yeah.
As Fuller puts it.
You're right. That's oppression because I'm making you
money. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Have lower a view of yourself, and I'm and me and all the other cowards, and we are banded together, and we're going to show you, and we're going to take your women from you, because we're going to attract you, we're going to seduce, hey, your man came by that wife machine, I got that, oh, I got this. And then the women, and they become weaker, and they break down, and then they say, no, they fall in half out behind, like now they moving on to the little boys now.
Mm-hmm.
You see? They got in the head up all the women. Now they taking the boys and little girls, and the culture just sold out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Totally
yeah.
sold out.
And I get the same response that you get when I discuss money with people, Charles. I get the same response where people say, what do you need these things? If you need a certain amount to move you forward, and you're trying to get that, why do you need all these extra things? And then I get the same response that you get. You don't tell me what to do.
Yeah, yeah.
You're asking how to get out of this situation.
But you're not the boss of me.
Yeah, I'm not the boss of you. So
what's your qualification?
That's the answer. Yeah,
where did you get
your
degree
exactly.
from?
And it better be a Whitey approved institution. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah.
I'm sorry. Because I don't know how my fit in my hand. Because I ain't doing no manual labor.
Okay, so back to the topic of circular reasoning and fear. So this fear, essentially, I guess you're saying that the fear has been placed in us. You know, through generational conditioning and multi-level trauma-based mind control and so on and so forth, that has put us in a place where we are still fearful of the ramifications of the overseer. Now, with that being said, I guess my question is still the same. What are some of the steps that we could take to redirect our thinking in a way that will benefit our community?
But yeah, I know what you're saying. How can steps can we transfer from circular thought to linear one? That's the real problem. That's the real hard thing to do. I would say it's going to take a different kind of cultural education.
Mm-hmm.
I just recently did a workshop on YouTube about Marimba Ani's book, The Yorugu, Exploring European Culture, Behavior, and Whatnot. I know it's not the title of that book. But anyway.
Correct.
But that book was awesome. It took a person, that book actually helped a person go from the circular thought to the linear. Well, this book describes that you need to get from over that thought to from circular to linear. That book tells you how to do it.
Okay.
That book, which we will do a series on it coming up.
Okay.
And so so we have to basically look at the culture that we have. We have to analyze European cultural thought processes, and by analyzing the thought processes, we could see how our programming and how we perceive our problems, how we perceive the methods for solutions, are actually exercises in maintaining and cultivating our own oppression. And until we realize or take the time out to investigate the way we think and our mind, our thoughts and whatnot, then we will undo it and then start carrying out new behaviors that are going to give us new results. I'm going to read here another passage here. It's very short here. It says, black people in the United States reject the conscious recognition of the global white supremacist system, its absolute necessity of non-white oppression, and its very specific implications of a continuing powerlessness and potential destruction as opposed to a natural death. for blacks and other designated non-whites. And this thing is telling that we keep trying to, you talk about, oh, man, all these things happening, this white supremacy, they're trying to keep the black man down. Oh, it's not that. We need to stop blaming white man. White man did nothing to us.
Mm.
What he did to us, that's in the past.
Okay. Well, that's a symptom, I guess, of what we can see every day when we have the conversation that includes how do we get past that? Why are we still talking about this? We aren't in slavery days anymore.
Right. We're not in slavery days anymore. Right. Because they're looking at that particular instance, they're looking at our own behaviors that contribute to our own oppression while you're talking about somebody else's behavior. So they're being contrary again. Then, when something happens to them, say their son gets beaten up on the side of the road and murdered by the police or some other, most mainly police, then they're going to say, it's racism again. Hold on, what was racism a few days ago? You told me racism wasn't the problem, it was just us.
Right.
Yeah, but now it's happening to you, now we're back on the racism.
Right.
Now it's white supremacy again. See, because they don't care about the collective. They're trying to avoid that there's a necessity to maintain this particular all these actions of the white police brutality as a means of maintaining power, to instilling fear. That's just the same old everybody gather around. We finna whip Freddie here
right.
for not picking his share of cotton today.
Right, and everybody watch.
He didn't make his quota because y'all don't know if y'all know that people got beat for not making their quotas on jobs back then.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
See. Yeah, this wasn't fun, and we're going back to that time now. I mean, really, it's still kind of bad. We're still in a captivity. We still work to the enrichment of another people. The same people that brought us over here, because we hadn't even paddled our way back.
That's right.
So we're not in a much better situation.
But at least we're not working out in the fields in the sun.
Yeah, that is good. We have the freedom now to starve to death from without working. That's the freedom we have. I have the freedom to live under a bridge.
The only difference is now that a peasant has a car instead of a donkey. That's the difference between it's just a movement of technology. You can't necessarily ride a donkey down the street now, but you have a car. But you still owe the sheriff of Nottingham for that car, the same way you owed it for the donkey years ago, which is really not part of our culture to begin with.
Right. I'm sure they had to pay taxes on a donkey back then, too.
Mm, oh, yeah.
Well, they had the sharecropping and all that, so they did have to pay all that stuff.
Yeah. You know, they ain't let them have no animals for just reproducing animals and just living off of them.
No.
Mm-mm, they had something for that.
Okay.
Well, throughout their history, there was always a history of paying tribute, which is similar to the taxes that we pay now. But we's free.
We's free. Because.
And a large part of our culture.
We get it, right?
we also assume that our thinking is correct at this point, so we reason things the same way, in a different way than we reasoned them before we came here. So that circular thought is easier now because our reasoning has been changed. Our whole mindset has been changed for the benefit of someone else.
You're right.
So when we think of right and wrong, we're thinking of right and wrong through their eyes. They created a whole new set of right and wrong that we agree with.
Yeah,
against our best interest.
Right, and matter of fact, they see it as it is for in their best interest. I know you're saying it is not in our best interest, but those same persons who you just described, they see their interest and the master interest as one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, I think she has it. I don't know if that's in this chapter where she discusses. The oppressive person who's been oppressed so long, he see himself and the master as one. Here it is. It says disrespect cannot develop as blacks strive to blame one another for their symptoms No, that's not it. It's another chapter then, where she talks about how the person becomes so brainwashed from being indoctrinated by his oppressor that he, like Uncle Ruckus,
mm-hmm.
Uncle Russell sees himself as Mr. Wonsler. Anybody not familiar with Boondocks?
Those are some very obscure references that you're making about Wonsler. Oh, my God.
But I understand what you're saying, too, because when the master is sick, the slave will say, we sick. You know, if the house is on fire, our house is on fire, what are we going to do? You know, like they have ownership.
Right.
Like
they
they're in the same body.
Yeah, they've been the same body. They just, and his relatives is being, they're selling off his daughter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're selling his daughter. They say, you got to go, kids. Bye.
And that's why I would say even now, if you translate that over, you know, to today, when you have situations like we were speaking about when you go in the store with coupons, the black people give you the hardest time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
As though that, you know, 50-cent coupon is, you know, that 50 cents coming out of their check or something.
I had a woman go off on me because she wanted me to donate some money to the American Diabetes Association. She didn't go off. She was trying not to, but she wanted to. She kept bugging me about giving this money. I told her I'd give you some chromium and some cinnamon. I'm thinking, you need some? I got some of that. I got a pound at the house.
For those who don't know that nerd reference, chromium picolinate helps with the insulin metabolism. And he's like, I'll get some chromium. Yeah, can I just get that money? That's what I want, that money.
Right. She wants me to give this money and try to shame me out of not giving the money. You know what I'm saying? I'm holding it down.
And I'm thinking, you know, earlier in the week I heard black people saying that that we're attacking Africa. We're attacking a country in Africa to ensure that our democracy is safe. What democracy are you referring to? You're attacking Africa. This is a black person. You're justifying attacking Africa to secure our democracy.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make any
what
sense.
Democracy you got? That's the first
Wait
thing.
Wait a minute. Let's go back to the beginning of that sentence.
We. I heard that.
We.
Yeah, we.
We. Me. That means me. We sick. We sick. What is we going to do? We are attacking
right.
Africa. Really? All right, then.
Right.
I know that's right. And we won the Super Bowl last year, right?
That's right.
Whatever.
I mean, part of the issue with our people is that we have lived under a system for so long that we have begun to mimic our slaveholders. So we no longer want to be our own person. We want to be like the, how do you say it, master? Master?
Master.
That's what
master.
We want to be. So
right.
We want to
be master.
We want to oppress
and
our
then,
own people. We want to have cars aplenty, and we want to have land, and we want to have women all over the place, and we don't only want our women, we want their women. We want white, we want black, we want, you know. And so you have a generation of men that have longed to live out that dream of being like these uncivilized, I'm sorry, fucked up people. And that's what we've inherited as our mentality. We want to be what they were to us for all those years. And we've basically trod on our own people to try to make ourselves, you know, affirm our, we're free now. This is our freedom. But we're stepping on our own people to declare our freedom.
Right.
Yeah.
And
see, what you just described.
And to expand on that thought, too, they instill these things into us as children. When you go to school, every school has a mascot. So now you have, say, I know at my school, Bulldog Pride. You know what I'm saying? That just trickles on up. And then when you become, when you start getting jobs and you become a working, you know, in a working class or whatever, so now you're a team player. So it's our, you know, our company. Even though you don't get anything, if something happens with that company and they shut down, or if it burns down or whatever, all you get is, sweetie, you don't have to come to work today. you know, that's all you're getting. But they
right.
they instill mm-hmm. these thoughts into us, like a sort of brainwash us, so to speak. You know, so you'll say, oh, this is ours. You know, and it all goes back to that same, you know, we sick, you know, mentality
yeah.
or whatever.
And, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Or you be on your deathbed or something, you're laid up in ICU, and they call you and say, when are we going to be able to make it in? I mean, we got to cover this schedule. And then that week
yeah.
gets real ugly, and you realize that they've already tried. They're starting to divorce your ass. You've been faithful
right.
for 25 years,
okay.
and now, you know, what have you done for us lately? You know,
the little affirmations, ain't no I in team, things like that. Little
right.
things that they tell you, you
all
know, to make
yeah.
you go with the flow. You know, to play
I would tell
into their mindset.
On how you spell it.
Yeah. What did he say?
Depends on how you spell it.
Because I spell it
T-I-E-M.
Team.
And then, you know, the other thing that just really does not set well with me is that whole thing that collectively our people are cowards. Let me tell you,
yeah.
if you put a gang of black folks in the same room, they will fight each other. If you place a
yeah.
white person in that room to give them orders, they will follow that white person. So they are
the white person doesn't even have to say anything. You can put a white person
right.
in that room and everybody will sit down.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And they will
but,
follow that person because of color association. So I said all that to say that we are cowards and we don't stand up for the right shit, but when it comes down to fighting against each other over the most nonsensical thing, we got all the bravery in the world. And so we need to
that's
project
right.
that bravery
right.
in the right fashion.
And that's
right.
circular. That's circular thinking. When you
right.
when you turn it back on your own, because you really don't want to confront the real problem. You're,
right.
you're quick
mm-hmm.
to turn it back on your own.
Right. The white
now,
in the room, we ignore the elephant in the room.
I was going to say, now, there'll be a couple of them in there about, like, me thinking, what in the hell is he doing in here, first of all? And then second of all, get quiet because you don't want to put your business out on Front Street. But some of the other ones, I mean, you know, I feel what you're saying, Jessica. Some of them will just say, you know, just adhere to it like
or
it's an overall presence of power or something like that, you
uh-huh.
know. Because I can't stand that. Oh, my goodness, I cannot stand when you go on the job and somebody and you find out somebody acted a fool and you be like, oh, damn, that's on our team. You know what I'm saying? With the
mm-hmm.
eye team, with the eye, somebody black who acted a fool, you know. You're like, please
mm-hmm.
let it be one of them.
Oh,
right,
girl, forget it. Don't be in a room full of white folks and the news come on and some shit that went down and some black people were perpetrators. You feel like everybody in the damn room is staring at
too. Well, yeah,
we
that's
go.
The point. They put those reports in such a way as to keep embarrassing you, so you can lose
yeah.
group self
respect.
Because
they don't give their identity to white folks. They won't give their identity.
Yeah, on BIP, there's a series someone publishes called The White Watch, and The White Watch, where they have unflattering street crime. As performed by European colonists here in these Americas. And that series has, I would say, shaped the paradigm of black people to understand that the people who are oppressing them aren't not committing crimes or just like we're committing so many crimes while we're in, so many of us are in jail and that sort of thing. But it's then starting to see that these particular persons aren't serving harsh sentences and they're not being embarrassed and humiliated through the media in the way that we are.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oftentimes they won't
right.
even show their face.
Right, right. They don't show their face. They don't report not even a quarter of the cases that these
mm-hmm.
people are. I mean, heinous stuff I've seen crimes they've committed. But right here on page 159, it says a prerequisite to overcoming fear is the growth of self and group respect.
Mm-hmm.
This respect
right.
cannot flourish in the presence of a belief that blacks cannot develop their own analysis and provide their own solution to black problems without the leadership, approval, and or funding of non-blacks. Now, I mean, this tells me, Asahiyed, Sheikh Anna Diop, when they started writing about black history in pre-colonial Africa, Chancellor Williams and all these guys are writing, white scholars started coming out the walls telling them, who the hell are you to write about black history anywhere? When Frederick Douglass was writing his book, when he published and he was giving speeches about narrative of slavery, they was pro-slavery lobbyists were going around trying to say that this is a black man, he not qualified to talk about slavery because you can only learn about it from a good Southern white man. See, it's about telling us that we have no authority, no credibility. We don't have the credibility to account, to recount, to edit, to describe, interpret, and commentate on anything. That all of our thoughts can only be parroted from what Master say. That's the only time we are pretty much authorized by the book, as if we're writing something and in agreement to what they are saying. And that's when we usually get into trouble, when we start thinking on our own and taking that type of control. Because they know that once you have group self-respect, because you can't have self-respect for yourself if you don't have self-respect for your neighbor, your fellow man that look like you. And anybody that'll tell you, oh, I love being black, but he's running around not respecting black in his everyday activities, is lying.
Right.
And that's the real, a lot of people don't want to deal with the lying person that's talking about how much black he respect, but he's not demonstrating that behavior in his day-to-day life.
Right.
And that's the issue. That's why we have the discussion. That's why we read these books, is we have to understand that we have to reclaim our identity, our self-respect, in order to be able to behave with people with dignity and under that type of consciousness, we would no longer endure the level of oppression, and eventually we'd throw off that yoke.
And exactly. And I feel like if you know that you come from a king, if you know that you come from a queen, if you know that you come from royalty, from a god, then you are going to start to behave, you're going to start to act godly, you're going to start to walk kingly, you're going to start to act, you know, in a queenly manner. And they don't want us to do that. That's why they want to white, to kind of bleach out our history. You know, growing up in Jasper, and the first thing they did, history. You know what I'm saying? We have a chapter in our book, of course, on Egypt and all of this, but the pictures in there are so pale, almost look like clay. I mean, you know what I'm saying, of the black people, the pyramids. They teach you those things, but until you get into a class with a black instructor, you know, somebody who knows the true history and who's not afraid to tell you, then you're just like, oh, okay, so, you know, and then why are we skipping this chapter? This is a whole chapter in the history book, but we're skipping it because you have blonde hair and blue eyes and you don't want me to know that I come from greatness, that I come from, you know, people who were practicing math and building pyramids and, you know, writing, all practicing medicine, you know, way before you even thought about coming over here. They don't tell you all of that because they don't want you to know, because once you know, you're going to start acting accordingly. You know, once we know,
right.
And that's what I say, we have to speak it until people believe it, until they know where you come from. Because when you know your roots, you're going to start acting like your people. And
that's right.
I got a little heated right there.
Go on and say that. You got 4 minutes, but I'm going to close it up.
Yeah, you can go ahead and close it whenever you get through.
Go ahead on, Jessica. We'll give everybody a final 2 minutes. Everybody got a final 2 minutes. Come on.
Okay. What Sean was saying, I completely agree with. I think that that's part of our solution. Basically, that's the cornerstone. We have got to, even if it's teach small children in homes after school, and I mean set up in every community that we can, someone that can teach children, our children, about their heritage, that's where it's going to start. These older generations, we can reach some, but most of them are going to fall through that net. They are not trying to learn anything new, and they are too programmed. Their programming is too faulty. It's not going to work on them. But the ones that are fresh, the real small ones, that next generation, that's who needs to learn this.
Right.
That's my feeling.
Okay. Brother Amin?
Well, I would say that we have to change our idea of reality. Our idea of reality is faulty, and it it has to go back to what's realistic. I agree with what Neely Fuller spoke about, spending some time alone where you can really look at the things that matter most to you, and without the influence of anybody else, where you can start looking at reality through your own eyes, without anyone else's influence, and without what you've learned in the past, and you'll start to see real reality, and you'll start to focus on the things that matter most to us as a collective.
Okay. All right, Brother Charles.
Oh, how about you? I'll go last.
Oh, I wasn't even gonna go, but
yeah,
okay.
But you will. But you
I want to say. I want to say this right here, that I appreciate y'all coming out and everything, and we got to keep this up. I think this is a great idea and a great thing that Charles has decided to do, to try and go over these books and discuss these things in an open mic format so that we can talk this out and try and figure out what angle to approach our collective issues from and to try and better correct ourselves. Regarding this black fear, I think this was a great discussion. I would just finish it up by saying that the fear that we have was indoctrinated into us collectively, and I think that by the same token, we can indoctrinate it out of us. But we have to want to see that happen. And I know that it can be done, and I think that we can do it and possibly see it in our lifetime.
Hello.
Yeah, I was through. You weren't listening to me.
No, I heard you, but the sound went out for a moment.
That was me being quiet.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was like, hold on, this thing cut off? But anyway, all right. And my words, there are many books written about our condition and the various strategies to overcome it. On the African Knowledge Beyond the Book Club, there are pictures of books that are on the subject of racism and our response to it and our brainwashing. And we're going to go through. Our goal is to go through all of them, all of those books. We're going to familiarize ourselves with all of the techniques of restoring the black mind. Because that's the object, is that we need self-directed therapy. We have to learn about, we have to confront our situation, we have to confront ourselves. We can't confront an enemy if we can't deal with ourselves. So, dealing with the enemy is dealing with the self.
Right.
It is one and the same. So by looking at that person, looking at yourself in the mirror, looking at who, the kind of society, the people who gave birth to you, who raised you, and look at their programming, and looking at how it made you into the person that you are today, and you hopefully will be able to fashion yourself and your children into better people tomorrow. All right, everybody have a good night, and enjoy this and rebroadcast. Peace.
Hey!
I'm not a world of life. I'm not a world of life. Yes, I am.